Well, greetings to you all this evening from your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Let me say that one more time. Pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. That's a quote from Andrew Murray. It is a long struggle. It's a tough struggle for everyone here and in our country, certainly, controlling our pride and our relationships to a Christian command to be humble. Humble in our life. We're Americans. We love to celebrate. We love to win. We love to shout with joy. We love to be victorious. Yes, that's us. And if you've ever noticed lately, if you have now grandchildren, when they play sports, everybody gets a trophy. I don't care what place you come in, you get a trophy. You show up and wear the shirt, you get a trophy. That wasn't the way it always was. It's just a new idea because everybody wants to be a winner. And that's very important to us. But you know, people are beginning not to care even about trophies. Listen to this about Jesus. He made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And of course, that's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. How do we emulate that mindset of Christ? Well, now, you know, Pastor, you're making some comments that I don't really like. I don't think there's anything wrong with being proud. I'm proud of my work. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my church. I'm proud of a lot of things. Are you? You are proud of your accomplishments, but you haven't accomplished anything without the grace of God. You have done nothing except what the Lord has willed you to do. And that pains so many people, athletes, leaders, CEOs of corporations. You're not anything God didn't let you be. And in your own lives, you've accomplished what he wanted you to accomplish. Listen to what the Bible says about humility. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. For the Lord takes great pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. The angels of humility are among you all today. They bump right into you every day. You may not know it, but they do. But unfortunately, you also have the demons of pride that would very much like to have you pay attention to them. Now, which one of those two do you select? Well, you will take the one you like to cuddle and take home to and spend time with. And that's the one you'll listen to. Have this attitude, it says in this verse. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then this is an invitation by Paul to rethink your attitude based on Christ's attitude. One of my favorite guys that writes, Mark Twain. You've heard me quote Mark Twain before. And this one I like. Mark Twain said, "Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example." That is truth. That is truth. But let me talk just a little bit about how you assess the dilemma. You might say, "Oh, Pastor, that's a big request. I am very happy and proud to be who I am." But you must listen. You have to adjust your thinking, as we all do, as I do, as everyone does. And it's not a quantum leap that you have to take. And I, as you've heard me say before, you know, Jesus really isn't into quantum leaps. He loves baby steps. And if you can just take small steps in his direction every day, what a glorious life you're going to have. But you've got to constantly move. Move in that direction. Not all in one day or one week, but over time. Continually. Paul tells us in our passage that Jesus took the form of a servant. Of a servant. Listen closely. Not a man, but a slave. The lowest position a person could become in the Roman world. He wasn't born in a palace, a mansion. He was born in a dirty old stable among the animals. The king of the universe, he had nothing. He became a pauper. Who for? You. He gave it all away for us. In fact, he had to borrow a burro or a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He had to preach out of a borrowed boat. He had to find places to sleep. He had to find an upper room to have his supper. And you know what? Even when he died, he had to be laid to rest in a tomb that wasn't even his. He had nothing. He was insulted. He was humiliated, and he was humiliated by the very people that he loved and he had given life to. And that should comfort everyone here, because there is no level that you can sink to that Christ cannot address where you are. He's been there. He knows what it feels like. And so that is something that is worth remembering. And the final thing that I would like to pass on is, yes, he was humiliated, and he was humbled. But listen to this one point. No one humbled him. If you read the verse closely, it says, he humbled himself. Why did he do that? For us, that is why. Athanasius, who was the bishop of Alexandria, noted that looking upon the crucifixion, that it was the only way that a man would die that was outstretched, and he said, how unique for Jesus. Because it evidenced in his execution that he was opened up to invite the entire world, the nations, the generations to come to him. And now finally, in closing, I would like to discuss two topics. One is justification. What has Jesus done? What did Jesus do on that cross? Well, he justified us. Okay, that's great. I love that, Pastor. What's that mean? Here's what that means. It only happens one time. You don't have to get justified every day. Jesus justified you on that cross. Sinners like you and me, we are no longer guilty. We are perfectly righteous before God. And that's the sum total of it. And now we say, well, what is this thing, sanctification? Sanctification. Let me tell you what that is. That only means every day we try to be more like Christ. We try to do what we just talked about in this little message. That's what sanctification is. So every time a mom helps her child with their catechism, it's sanctification. Every time you grab that little child's hand around the table and you say your dinner prayer, that's sanctification. Every time you bring children to church, sanctification. When you go to Bible class, that is sanctification. Or anytime you've ever been to a nursing home and held an aged person's hands, that is sanctification. So the question that we have tonight is simply this. Will you transfer your trust in yourself to Jesus? Will you begin trusting him instead of you? The moment you do that, you will cross over from death. Yeah, you're going to cross from death to life and spend eternity with God. It's promised in the Bible what's going to happen. Today is your opportunity to bow the knee and truly invite our Savior into your life. Amen.